All right. God bless you. Thank you. My brother said he's wondering what we did to stay in good shape, eating monkey and chasing zebras. I never could catch one of those little rascals, I'm telling you. TJ caught one, couldn't stay on it. Nah, we're just kidding you. We have a good time. And the Lord's been good to me. What a Savior. If I thought this journey was going to be so exciting, I got started when I was a baby. I got saved when I was 26 years old. My brother got saved when he was a teenager, 14. I had the joy and privilege of hearing him preach the glorious gospel one Sunday night at Emmanuel Baptist Church in 1976. I never will forget that night. I went there that night with a broken heart, emptiness. He'd been trying to win me to Christ many, many times, but I kept telling him no. I wanted to go hear him preach. He said that I actually heard him preach once before. I must have not been too alert that night. But I went to hear him preach that night, and he preached on Andrew, found his own brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to Christ. That night, I surrendered to the Lord. You know, when I prayed, I didn't know what to pray. But in that pew, I just said to God, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with it. I went to work the next day, and after I saw my brother off and told the men at work, I said, God did something for me. I said, what's that mean? I said, I'm done. They knew what it meant. I was finished with all of that. God's given me something to do with my life. I'm so excited. Nothing's more rewarding than serving the Lord. God has let me travel with my dear friend, Brother T.J. Tilley. He's traveled to well over 100 countries in the world and shared his faith. I know of no other living human being. I know of no one ever who's went to over 100 countries and preached the gospel. But it's been my joy and privilege to travel with him the last few years. We've gone to different places. We did just return from Africa, and what a meeting. That's scores of people saved and met with pastors. The Lord met with us. The Lord God of the Hebrews met with us. What a place. Truth of the matter is, there's a need all over the world. And there's a great need right here. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm convinced that we are responsible to get the gospel to every creature. And one day we'll meet God with that. And there'll be another day, the saddest day in all of human history, when we see the dead of all the ages stand before the great white throne. And we'll know then that it was our responsibility to take the glorious gospel to the ends of the earth. I want to thank the pastor for inviting me. I really thank you, preacher. And when I say preacher, it's a great church. The church is known by its influence, and this church has tremendous influence. We thank the Lord for the pastor, for his burden to see the work of God go beyond the doors of this place. And I'm convinced that Pastor Jenkins is doing the same thing. And I'm excited. I look forward to going to India with him. And I've been there a couple times, and I think we'll see great things done. We're praying the Lord will do wonderful things. I love my brother. I told him I wished that he had preached the house down. I can't believe I talked to him last night. He said, now you're going to preach last tomorrow night. I said, no, I can't do that. That's not right. Something's wrong in life if that happens. No, I've already decided. I said, no, don't do that. But he's insisted. And he's not just my big brother. He's actually my daddy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He had the responsibility of keeping me right, or at least close enough to home where they could bring me in every night and tie me up. We had a great childhood. We really did. And a lot of precious memories. And I'm excited. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter number 6. And I say amen to everything that was said. I may just say it again. It's all about the furtherance of the gospel. I want to challenge you to get the material in the back, you know. If you're not, you can use those books my brother's published. They're wonderful books for daily devotion for your family. Teach the Sunday school series. Systematically go through books of the Bible. Learn some things. And use them in your home. Use them as gifts. Christmas is just around the corner. And they're beautiful gifts. Give one, put one in every doctor's office, one in every bank. Where people are waiting, let them read some. There's a lot of opportunities. There are a lot of people who like to pick it up and read it. But, and God will use it, I know. John chapter number 6. How many have it? John chapter 6. We're going to read just a few verses tonight, and then, Lord willing, hear from heaven. Hope. Verse 26, and Jesus answered them and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom we have sent. And they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we might see and believe thee? What doest thou works? Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'd like for you to read verse 38 with me, would you please? For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Our dear Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight that you might help me. And Lord, that you might fill me with your Spirit and give me clarity of mind. And dear Lord, I pray that you might do what I cannot do, and that's speak to the hearts of people. And as my dear brother has mentioned, open our hearts, open our minds of understanding, Lord. Help us to see truth. And dear Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not sure they're going to heaven, may this be their day of salvation. But help all of us who know you, determined by the grace of God when we leave this meeting tonight, we're going to please you with our lives. And we'll thank and praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to speak tonight on this subject. God's will and the work of believers. God's will and the work of believers. The Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 38, the verse that I read, He said, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. For a long time in my Christian life, I had things turned around. I was trying to figure out God's will for my life, and then I discovered that it's not God's will for my life, but it must be my life for God's will. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, what is the will of God? The will of God is very simple. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The truth of the matter is, the will of God is so simple that the smallest child can understand it. It's so simple. God's will is he wants all people to be saved. He wants every single person to hear the gospel. He's commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you know Dr. Lee Robertson quoted that verse every day of his life? In every service of Highland Park Baptist Church, he mentioned the glorious gospel of Christ. And every service, he mentioned the second coming of the Lord. I learned from him the power of the gospel. He said to me, if people are not being saved, there's one of two reasons. Number one, the gospel has either lost its power, or number two, the gospel is not being given. The gospel will never lose its power. The only reason people aren't being saved today is because the gospel is not being given. And I try to encourage every preacher I know just to clear off a spot and preach the gospel and see what God can do in a place. You'd be shocked to see how many people would come to Christ if they just knew how much God loved them. Now, the will of God is real simple. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. And the question we all have to answer is this: will we give our life to do the will of God, or will we keep our life? The Lord Jesus said, if you give your life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. But if you keep your life, you lose it. Now the Bible says in John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." If we were to ask the Lord Jesus, "Why did you come into this world?" He would simply say, "I came to do the will of God with my life." He gave his life to do God's will. Now, God wanted a sacrifice for sin. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus paid the sin debt in full for all mankind? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when Jesus died, he paid the sin debt in full? Do you believe when he said, "It is finished"? Do you believe that he paid it in full? And do you believe the word of God when God says he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied? Oh, the greatest thing that ever happened in the history of the world was when Jesus died on Calvary. God took our sin, he took my sin, he took your sin. He reached back from the very beginning of time. God created time when he created man, and God will end time one day when he's finished with his plan with us. But God took all of our sin from the first man to the last man, and God put that sin on Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him to be sin for us." Whew. Think about that. He died for you. What would have happened if the Lord Jesus did not give his life to do God's will? We would not be here tonight. There'd be no hope. But Christ came into this world. He said, "I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." The greatest decision that any child of God ever makes is what they're going to do with the life that God gives them. Do you know when you get saved, God gives you life? As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Aren't you glad you've got eternal life tonight? Everlasting life. God gives us that. But God wants us to do something with that life He has given us. He says we're to do something with it. We're to give our life to Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I like that, don't you? God's going to change us. Complete change. Transform us. And then we'll know the will of God, the perfect plan of God. People say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'm trying to figure out God's will for my life. And I want to say to them, you'll never know God's will for your life until you give your life to God's will. And when you give your life to do God's will, you discover the will of God for your life. Every blessing of God is found in the surrender of our life to His will. Everything. It all fits together. You know, the Bible says that God marketh our path. I think it's Job 33:11. He's got every life plan. Do you believe He has a plan for your life? Do you believe He has a perfect plan? The only way to discover it, the only way to follow it, is to give your life to do God's will. Whew. It's the greatest decision anyone ever makes. God wants us to give our life totally to Him and to do His will. Listen what the Lord Jesus said. I love this verse. The Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter number 3, verse 35, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. You know, there are a lot of Christians today, a lot of Christians that are not doing the will of God. You say, what's that mean? It means they're not giving their life to God to do His will. The will of God for my life is to help everybody I meet do the will of God with their life. Now, what would happen tomorrow if we all made that one decision tonight? If we all said tonight, here's what I'm going to do. I'm giving my life to do God's will. Let's just say we did that tonight. The first person we met, we're going to help them do the will of God with their life. What is the will of God? He's not willing that any should perish. We're going to tell them how to know Christ. Can you imagine what would happen in this great church, in this area, if the people in this meeting tonight made one decision, I'm giving my life to do God's will? Everything would change. This city would change. This area would change. This nation would change. We'd be in a great revival in America if we just give our life to God to do His will. But the truth of the matter is, we don't do that. We take certain time of our life, we'll take certain parts of our time, and we'll do the will of God with that. But God wants every one of His children to give their life to Him to do the will of God. Oh my goodness, what a blessing that would be. Do you know when you get saved, God gives you Jesus. When I got saved, God gave me the Lord Jesus. I had a dear lady in our church taught me a great truth in John's Gospel chapter 10. I want you to turn there real quick if you would. In John's Gospel chapter 10, the Bible says, you know the verse, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, they follow me. In verse 27, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Aren't you glad of that? I want you to look at verse 29. My Father, now look at it very carefully. My Father, which gave them, what's that next word? Gave them me. If you notice, there's not a two in there. The Bible says, my Father, which gave them me. The greatest thing that ever happened in our life was when God gave us Jesus. When you ask God to save you, when you call upon the Lord, He gives you Jesus. And you have everlasting life. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And with the Lord Jesus, we get everlasting life. That's new life. And so God asks us, what are we going to do with it? The Bible says in Romans 12:1-2, the verse that I quoted earlier, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God gives us Jesus, we have eternal life, and when we put our life on the altar and give our life to God, God does something special with us. I want you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, verse number 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Aren't you glad God wants you? Aren't you glad He wants you? He wants everybody. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. Do you know, I learned a long time ago that God wants His work carried out by His children. Now that's so simple. But God wants every Christian involved in the work of the Lord. God wants every child of God to do the will of God with their life. Not just the preacher, not just a staff member, and not just some appointed missionaries, but God's work is to be carried out by God's people. The Bible says we're to equip the saints, perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. And so when you get saved, God gives you eternal life. You give your life to God, and God says, now I have something. I have ordained you for something. I've got something special for you. Now look what He says. I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He, now look what those words say. He, say it with me tonight. He may give it you. Didn't say He may give it to you. He gives it you. Do you know on that job, God has given that job something? He's given it you. In school, God has given that school something. He's given it you. Everywhere we go, God has given us to that. But have we given our life to the Lord? You see, people get it turned around. The will of God is that He's not willing that any should perish. God wants all people to be saved. God gives us eternal life. And God's will for our life is to give our life to do His will. And when you do that, everything changes. I'm not talking about preaching. I know many preachers. I wish tonight that every preacher that I knew had given his life to do God's will. You say, well, preacher is called to preach. That doesn't mean anything. The truth of the matter is, I know lay people that are more given to the will of God than many pastors that I know. I know women, lay women, who have given more of their life to God's will than pastors' wives. God wants all of His children to give their life to Him to do His will in this world. And I've seen what happens. When someone surrenders their life to God, they put their life on the altar, they give their life to do God's will, God does wonderful things with them. God cannot spend what He has not given. And when you give your life to God, God spends you for something that'll count. He'll spend you somewhere. I decided a long time ago, Lord, I want You to spend me. I want my life to count. I don't want to just live and preach and pastor and die. I want to have my life spent on what God wants it to be spent on. And dear friend, the only way that'll happen, the only way it'll ever happen, is you must surrender your life to God. The level of our Christian service, how far we go for God, how much a difference we make in this world is determined by our surrendered life. As a matter of fact, the Christian life can be summed up in one word: surrender. I don't think the world has ever seen what can be done through a totally surrendered believer. Imagine what God can do. God can cause you to know the way when you walk. God will direct your path. God will not let you miss His plan and purpose for your life if you'll put it in his hands. God will do that. The Lord Jesus said, I came in this world not to do my will, but I came here to do the will of him that sent me. When we get at the end of our life, the question that's going to be asked, did we give our life to do God's will? That's the greatest decision you'll ever make. I made that decision many, many years ago. And when I made that decision, God has helped me with everything else afterwards. You see, you can't figure it all out until first you put it in God's hands. And then God will start putting it all together. That's the only way to live the Christian life. There are a lot of Christians that sit in church and say, listen, I'm going to church Sunday morning. I'm going to Sunday night. I'm going Wednesday night. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give. I'm going to go tell people about the Lord. When it's time to go soul winning, visitation, I'm going to show up. Does God want more than that? Oh, yes. He wants 100% of us. Total surrender. You say, what am I supposed to do? When you put your life in God's hands, he'll show you what to do. And as a layperson, you'll be mightily used of the Lord. You know, I heard Dr. Robertson preach so many, many times, and I cherish those memories today. I heard him preach when he was toward the end of his life, and I heard him make this statement. He said, the greatest Christian I've ever known in my life. Now, I know Dr. Robertson knew a lot of Christians. He knew a lot of preachers. I used to ask him sometime who was his favorite preachers. And he talked about the different ones down through the years. And I said some that really touched his life. And he would tell me a little bit about different ones and different things they preached and how they influenced his life and how they touched his life. And I just thought it was wonderful to hear that a man of that caliber had some favorite preachers. I asked one preacher, I said, who's your favorite preacher? He said, well, the truth of the matter is, he said, I'm my favorite preacher when I'm on. I said to his wife, how often does that happen? She said, I can't say in his presence. But I heard Dr. Robertson say this, the greatest Christian he's ever known in his life is M.J. Parker, a layman. He's went on to say, in the 73 years, for however long it was, I've never known a greater Christian. Now, I know Brother Parker wasn't perfect. He had a lot of problems. But he's a layman. He'd given his life to do God's will. And he had an understanding about the work of the Lord and God's will. Such an understanding about how the work of God is to be carried out. And he helped Dr. Robertson get lay people involved in the work of the Lord. Can you imagine what would happen if every single person in our churches made one decision, I'm giving my life to do God's will? What a change. Everything would change. I'm preaching tonight on this subject, the will of God and the work of believers. You see, the will of God is something we know. There's not a person here that cannot understand it. There's not a child that attends this church that cannot understand the will of God. I've never met a Christian who does not understand God's will. But I've met very few in my life, very few, who have given their life to do God's will. They'll give a portion of it. They'll give some of it. But I've had the privilege of working with people who have given their life to do God's will. I wish tonight I had time to tell you about some of the village pastors that we've met in different parts of the world, maybe some pastors in Cuba and places, who have nothing in this world to live with, but to have someone to live for, and have surrendered their life. I watched men and women with nothing. I mean nothing. Brother TJ and I met a man from Southern Sudan. It was one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard in my life. I don't know if I've ever heard. Do you, Brother TJ? I don't think I've ever heard anything so moving. We've actually put it on a video, and it's moving. The guy, if you saw the man come in here tonight, you would think that he lived on the street somewhere under a bridge. So poor. And I mean, the poverty has taken a toll on his body. Just a humble man. Fought everything you could imagine. Got saved. Trusted Christ as his Savior. And decided he was going to reach people where he lives. Learn Arabic fluently. Speaks five languages. Started a church in southern Sudan with a handful of people. And now he started other churches. He's got men in Bible college and training them. And you look at the man and you think, he has really hardly anything. As a matter of fact, he had nothing but the clothes on his back and a Bible. That's all he has to his name in this world. What a humble servant of God. I don't know if I've ever met a man more surrendered to God's will than that man. Mightily used of the Lord. What an opportunity God's given us. God's will. How long are we going to live our life? This life that's a vapor. And let it continue. And never fully surrender it to do God's will. The will of God and the work of believers. I want you to turn back into chapter, if you would, John chapter 6. Now remember, the Lord Jesus said, I came into this world not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then they asked the Lord a question. They asked the Lord Jesus, what is the work of God? I know people that are trying to figure out what the work of God is. What is the work of God? I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus said in verse 29. Well, let's look at verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? By the way, let me ask you a question tonight. How many tonight you'd be willing to do the work if God himself showed you tonight what work he has for you? You would say, I will do it. Come on, how many would say that? I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm going to show you what the work of God is for every believer. The Lord Jesus said, he answered and said unto them, this, read it with me, verse 29. This is the work of God that ye believe. Believe. You see, the work of God is to believe. We believe the gospel. That's how someone's saved. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. The Bible says that we believe the gospel. Aren't you glad you heard the gospel and you believe the gospel? Aren't you glad you did? Then God wants us to do something with our life. What is it? Believe. We only do what we believe. At night that I heard the glorious gospel of Christ, I said yes to the Lord Jesus, and I was saved. By the way, I was saved by the grace of God. Or were you saved by grace? Let's say the verse tonight. For by grace are you saved? What? Through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You remember when James asked the question, can faith save? There'll be nobody in heaven walking the streets of glory and saying, I got here by my faith. They'll say, I got here by the grace of God. God saved me. Through faith, God saved me. We had some men out fishing down where I live. We like to fish. They like to hunt here. Peter was watching some interesting bear hunting, grizzly bear hunting. I said, I don't want to hunt anything that's going to turn around and start hunting me. No, that's not kind of got some coon hunters here tonight. I don't want to hunt anything you can't eat. Coons still greasy, is that right? Fishing, now that's something we all can do. A couple of our guys were out fishing, and they were in Boca Grande Pass, a place in our area, and there was a boat out there, a deck boat, and there was a man on that boat in a motorized wheelchair. He was paralyzed. And he had a caretaker with him, and he was there. And apparently, the captain had taken him out to see the Gulf of Mexico, and the waters were calm. And our men went by, and they waved at him. And they went on their way, and a big boat came by and caused that boat to rock. And when it did, the man in the wheelchair went overboard, strapped to the wheelchair, paralyzed, strapped to the wheelchair in Boca Grande Pass. That's pretty deep. Our guy saw it, went over, got in the water, and somehow, some way, managed to get that guy out of that wheelchair. Got him up on the deck of that boat, and they went over to the island, Cayo Costa Island, and they got him over there, working on him, trying to bring him blue. And the guy took his cell phone and called, and from Health Park Hospital, a helicopter flew there and rescued the man, and paramedics took him to the hospital, and it made the news that night. Now, the guys that are in our church, he named his boat Answered Prayers. Now, that's an odd name for a fishing boat. That means if you come back with no fish, that's kind of a risk taker to say that, but anyway, they put the boat on the news and they said this: the cell phone saved the man's life. That's something, isn't it? And I know what they meant. Somebody took a cell phone and called, and they came and saved him. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Through faith. What connects us to God is faith, but what saves us is God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. When you hear the Bible, you have faith in God, you connect to God, you ask God to save you, and God saves you, not your faith. We get started in this journey by believing. And the only way to continue is to believe. What is the work of God? It's to believe. We believe the gospel. And for by grace are you saved through faith. And the more you read the Bible, the more you have faith in God, the more you believe, the more you do. That's an amazing thing. God doesn't bless us because of what we know. God blesses us because of what we believe. You got to believe. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, when I heard my brother preach, he gave the gospel. I heard that God loved me. Jesus died for me. I heard my sin debt was paid in full. I heard that God was knocking on my heart's door. The Holy Spirit of God was speaking to me. But I didn't have saving faith. I believed in the Savior, and God saved me. And by the way, people will never have faith until they hear the gospel. And once you give it, they're lit up. I have a little pen on, we call it the gospel pen. And Charles Spurgeon January 11, 1866, preached the gospel using colors, and it caught on. D.L. Moody brought it to America. Hudson Taylor took it to China. Amy Carmichael to India. Went around the world in missionary training and went all over America using the gospel colors. It's powerful. Uses God's creation. And there are five colors now. It started off with three, and D.L. Moody added a fourth one, gold. And then when it got very popular, child evangelism added the fifth color, green. But started with black, red, and white. And I have a little pen. I was on a plane, and they bumped me up to first class, and I was always glad for that. And I'm sitting there, and this man sits next to me, and I introduced myself. He does me. I said, "You heading for business?" He says, "Yes, I have businesses all over America, and I'm going out to California. I'm going to be checking on one of our businesses." I said, "Well, that's good. That's interesting." And he said, "What's that pen?" I said, that's a gospel pen. He said, "What?" I said, "Those colors mean something." "Oh, I see that gold. That means God loves you and has a plan for your life." "Hold on just a second. He said, "I don't want to get converted. I don't want you to convert me." I said, "I wouldn't convert you for nothing in this world. You asked me about my pen. I was just telling you, gold means that God loves us and has a plan for life. For God so loved the world, part of the world. I don't want to be converted." I said, I'm not trying to convert you. Just telling you what the pen means. I said, the black, it represents sin, for all of sin, and come short of the glory of God. And he just looked at me like, "I can't believe you're doing this." I said, the red is Jesus died for us, shed his blood, but God commends his love towards us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us, the blood of Jesus. He said, "Preacher, I don't want converted." I said, "I'm telling you, I'm not trying to convert you. I'm just telling you what those colors represent. The white speaks about forgiveness. When you ask God to save you, it cleanses your heart. And the green means you grow and go and tell others." "Huh, okay." Didn't talk to me no more on the plane. Didn't get converted. He just heard it. Let me tell you how God works. He could stop at a red light. Red. And the Holy Spirit of God can say, "The blood of Jesus." He can see black. And the Spirit of God can say, "We're all sinners." Do you understand? He heard the word of God. He now can have faith and be saved. You can't be saved without hearing the word of God. You can't have faith without hearing the word of God. And you can't be saved without God saving you. For by grace are you saved through faith. The more Bible you believe, the more faith in God for what he's doing. Do you know, you'll meet people all your life that know a lot about the Bible. I know people that literally have almost, it seems they've mastered the Bible. When I first got saved, I wanted to learn as much Word of God as I could, and I've tried to be a student of the Bible, but I'm such a miserable failure at it. And I remember when I first went to Bible college, I met some of these guys, and they just knew everything. And I thought, I'll never catch up to these guys. I'll never be able to know this much about the Bible. And then one day, I realized something. It's not what you know, it's what you believe. Now, you may meet people who know a whole lot more about the Bible, but you never have to meet another person who believes more than you believe. You see, the Bible says believers were added to the church. Aren't you glad tonight that you are a believer? Aren't you glad of that? You know, we are believers. We are. That's what we are. We're believers. How many are a believer tonight? You're a believer. You're a believer. God speaks to us about his word with his word, and we believe. Do you know nobody will ever be saved until somebody believes it? No church will ever be started until somebody believes. Nothing will ever be done for God until first somebody believes. God wants us to believe. He wants us to believe. I want to read you a couple of verses. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 9. What do we believe? Matthew chapter number 9, the Bible says in verse 27. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came into him, and Jesus said unto them, now I want you to notice this. The Bible says that these two blind men followed the Lord Jesus. Can you picture that tonight? They've heard that the son of David, oh, David discovered the mercies of God. They heard the son of David is here. And they're blindly trying to find him. They hear his voice. They follow him into a house and they say, Thou son of David, have mercy. And the Lord Jesus turns to them and he asks this question. Believe you that I'm able to do this? You know God could save them. He could change their life. He could give them sight. But he asked the question, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, I want you to mark this in your Bible. According to your faith, be it unto you. We all have tonight what we have believed God for. Nothing more than our belief. The more you believe, the more you do. You can sit here tonight and say, I know that the heathen's lost. I know that those people need the gospel. I know that. But until you believe it, nothing changes. Because believing is when we do something. The Lord Jesus wants to know how much you believe. You have something tonight that you want God to do, and you say, Lord, would you do this? And the Lord asks, you believe I'm able to do this? You say, well, Lord, I know you can. I've seen you do it before. I've heard that you've done it before. That doesn't work. It's very personal. Do you believe it? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And when we say, yes, Lord. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 9, verse 23, the Bible says, all things are possible to him that believeth. What is all things? It's all things. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things, we believe him. Look in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. If you ever heard Dr. Robertson preach, you heard three things. Make sure you're saved. Nail it down. Know that you know him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Is that where the verse stops? No. And that you may believe on him. Make sure you know Christ. Give your life to God and have faith in God. I wished I could, you can't number the times that that godly man lifted up those hands to heaven and said, have faith in God. Faith. What is it? Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have them, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That's pretty positive, isn't it? Do you know the Lord Jesus said that you can speak to a mountain? Does that mean God wants you to go out here and find the highest mountain in this part of the country and say, mountain, be removed into the sea? And just so everybody can see you move a mountain. I don't think he's talking about physical mountains. But I know this. There are some mountains in our lives. Those times when people run into something and they can't go any further. It's so big they can't see around it. So high they can't even see heaven for it. And the Lord Jesus said, you have the power to remove that mountain. If you believe, you can speak to that mountain. Faith believing, and that mountain shall be removed. Say, I don't know if I have that. How much faith does it take? Believing. Through faith, move the mountain. Through faith, do great things for God. Oh, tonight, if we could just see what faith is, can only be known by what it does. What faith is in our life can only be known by what it does in our life. We all have tonight exactly what we believe God for. If you want to do more, believe God for more. I've seen people with such little education and little opportunity and little substance do amazing things. Amazing things. I've been in places. I'm thinking of Obadiah. Brother TJ and I know Obadiah. Obadiah is a man, a village man. He went up in a little village in Africa. He just believed God and started a church. And believed God. Now has 40 pastors. He's trained 40 churches and still training and planting pastors. We had a meeting there in July with those pastors. And those humble men, they're believing God. They believe Him. We had a little girl rode our bus and she got saved. And we like to bring the children in. She's about 9, 10 years old. And she came in after she got saved. And I said to her, do you believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you? Yes. Have you asked God to save you? Yes. And I believe this is going to work for my whole family. I said, God bless you out of the mouth of babes. I believe this is going to work for my whole family. Do you believe that? Do you believe the word of God when he says, shall call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved and thine household? Who tonight will believe God for your family? Your family. Who will believe God for the people you work for? Who will believe God for this city? Who will believe God for the great work of God? Nothing will be done. Nothing will be accomplished in our life until we believe God. And once we believe, everything happens. That's when all of our needs are met. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to. There's a, according to there. His riches in glory. What do you think God is rich in? Everything. But guess what? One day, he's going to bring his bride. And we're going to behold the riches of his grace. He's rich. And he's willing. He's willing to give everything he is. All there is in this world. The Bible teaches us life is ours, death is ours. Apollos, Cephas, Paul, things present, the world, things to come. What's coming for you? It's all yours. But you must believe. The work of believers is to believe. And once you believe, everything changes. It all changes. TJ's got more stories to tell than anybody I know about missionaries, and he's got some heart-wrenching ones. Some that I've asked him to write them down. I think people would love to read them. I mean, what an amazing journey God's given him. He tells about this little village, man, a member of a church in the village. And he wanted a donkey. And he said, I can buy this donkey for, I think, $25. TJ said, well, okay. And then he said, I can buy this cart to put on this donkey for $20. And they tied that cart around that donkey, the ropes around him. And that little man went off, came back later. And I think he told me they brought over 30 people backwards forwards on that little cart. A little man said, I believe if I had this donkey, I'd get some people to church. Yeah? I've seen it happen. You see, God is moved by faith. He's moved by it. He's waiting for our faith. Do you believe? The Bible says it's according to our faith. I learned the greatest weapon the devil has, the greatest tool he has, is doubt. That's his greatest weapon. All he has to do is get you to doubt. If you have a bit of doubt about your salvation, you'll never do a thing. That's why the Bible says, these things I've written unto you, believe on them that you may know that you have eternal life. Believe God and don't believe doubt. But then God wants you to believe him for more. He wants you to have faith. And the devil says, well, that won't be for you. When I went to Bible school, I went there on Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs. And I wasn't there very long to some heavy-headed man said to me, you have taken that verse out of context. Well, I didn't understand what context was. I thought that might have been a book somewhere that I hadn't read yet. And I said, what do you mean? He said, that's not for you. That promise is for the church at Philippi. You can't claim it. Now, he wasn't someone in charge. He just was someone discouraging everybody. And I thought, my goodness, I've tricked God and everybody else because so far he's supplied all my needs. And then I was reading where all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. I said, hold on a second, I got another one. I went back and said, I found another verse. All scripture. I want to claim it all. I'm not going to worry about it. If I get it wrong, God will say, well, you believe me so much, I just went ahead and did it for you. Do you know what? We all have tonight what we believe God for. No more. There are people here tonight, people that live in this area, going to spend eternity somewhere. They're going to be in heaven or hell. You say, why? Why would they die and go to hell? Because nobody believes their soul is precious enough to tell them. The moment you believe, everything changes. Our faith in God, faith, believing God, changes the world. He has all power. Mountains can be removed. The work of God tonight is to believe. And that's something that every believer can do. What are you believing God for? You don't stop when you get one. You say, let's try this again. Let's believe Him for more. Everything we believe God for, He does. Because He says it's according to our faith, what you believe. Not what somebody else believes, what you believe. The will of God is to give your life to do His will. And you'll discover everything in it. You'll find the person you spend your life with. You'll find the blessing. You'll find the place. It's all in the center of doing His will. And once you give your life to do God's will, then you start believing. And the more you believe, the more you see. You've got to believe it before you see it. Does everybody understand that? It works all over the world. And it'll work in this part of the world. All God needs is somebody to give Him his life and to believe Him. I decided that that's what I'm going to do. Give my life to God and believe Him. And I want to ask God to help my unbelief to believe Him for more. Let's bow our heads. In just a moment, we're going to pray. But with our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, how many tonight in this service you could say, Brother Sexton, I'm 100% sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. How many say that's me? Would you lift your hand? God bless you all over this building. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're going to heaven tonight, let this be your day of salvation. But I wonder tonight how many people would say, God spoke to my heart, maybe about giving your life to do God's will. Maybe tonight the Spirit spoke to you something about something to believe Him for. Only God can do that. As my brother mentioned, He'll open your mind and heart of understanding. He'll let you see. By faith, believe Him. People say tonight, spoke to my heart. You say, God spoke to me. God spoke to me. How many say that's me? Would you lift your hand? All over the building, no matter where you are. No matter where you are. Say, God spoke to me. Now, if God spoke to you, don't be ashamed. Say, He spoke to me. Raise your hand. I want to see. Now, listen, if God spoke to you and you're serious, then there's something God wants. He wants to prove something to you. If God spoke to you and you say, I have something God has spoken to me about, I want you to stand. You to stand. And I want you to come at this altar tonight and just say to God, Lord, I'm believing this. I'm believing this. Maybe it's your loved one. Maybe it's your family, a friend, on the job. You say, Lord, I'm believing. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. God says in His word, prove me. Prove me. You have unsaved family members? How about this? Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved, and thine household. Can you believe that tonight? Can you believe it? Can you? In just a moment, the pastor's coming. The instruments play softly, if you would, please.
still seated, I'd like you to look this way. Folks are praying. I want them to take their time. Preacher Lashley taught us a chorus around here, and I believe it's very appropriate to sing it. If you know it, you sing it with us. It's called Have Faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He cares for His own. If you know this little chorus, sing us with us, if you wouldn't mind. You know this chorus, Brother Gary? Let's sing it together, shall we? Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail.
He must
prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Amen. Powerful messages tonight, both of them. And may we take it and use it for the glory of God. Amen. I'm convicted. And I'll be honest with you, I need to believe the Lord more myself. And let's believe God that we're going to see great things. He wants to do great things. And these messages just complemented each other. I hope you saw that tonight, how they went right together, just like a puzzle together. We praise the Lord for it. Amen. Let me remind you about these books out in the lobby and so on. Please take advantage of it. Pastor Clarence Sexton is going to be leaving tonight to get back to his wife. So if many of you want to see him, Pastor Tom Sexton is staying over. He's going to be preaching in our services tomorrow night. So our folks, that's going to be a treat for you. That'll be great. Let's all stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Please speak to each other on your way out. Our Father, we love You. Thank You for this service. I pray that You'll bless it in a great way. Help us to take the Word of God that's been faithfully preached and apply it to our own hearts and lives. Speak to us now and help us to serve You better as a result of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.